WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. On the final night of the Republican National Convention, the theme is Make America Great Once Again, and all eyes and ears will be on former President Donald Trump later. Pennsylvania Delegate Carolyn Bunny Welsh.
He wants to unify not the Democrats or Republicans, the country.
Our Matt Piper is at the convention.
Donald Trump is in the arena for a fourth night in a row. The crowd, as you can hear, is very excited to see him. This is his big night here of the week. This is where he will formally accept the GOP's nomination for president. And, of course, he is expected to make a big speech here to round out the night and round out the week here in Milwaukee.
Also on tap to speak tonight, Eric Trump and Hulk Hogan. On the former president's big speech, Trump's senior advisor Danielle Alvarez says,
"It will be about record. We will certainly talk about the issues that matter to Americans, but Biden, by name, will not be mentioned."
President Biden is at his home in Delaware after testing positive for COVID. He's in isolation medically and politically, as CBS's Ed O'Keefe reports.
Jamie Raskin from suburban Washington, D.C. today releasing a letter that signaled similar sentiments expressed by people like Adam Schiff and apparently in private from former Speaker Pelosi's leader Jeffries, Majority Leader Schumer, saying, "You may not win this thing. You may drag down the entire party. You got to make up your mind."
A short time ago, California Democratic Congressman Jim Costa told CBS's Robert Costa, no relation, that he can no longer support President Biden remaining in the race for the White House. The U.S. military says it has concluded the operation to deliver humanitarian aid to Gaza using a temporary pier. It's been a bad year already when it comes to weather disasters. CBS's Jim Crisula.
Extreme weather nationwide so far this year has been costly. Russ Vose is with NOAA's National Centers for Environmental Information.
So far this year, the United States has experienced 15 weather or climate disasters. The cumulative damage so far this year is $37 billion.
National Weather Service forecasters expect 2024 will go down as the hottest year on record in the U.S. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
64-year-old Keith Edmund Gavin of Alabama has been executed for the shooting death of delivery driver William Clayton Jr. during a 1998 robbery attempt in the city of Center. Another blow to President Biden's student loan forgiveness program. Details from CBS's Stacey Lynn.
A federal appeals court has blocked the president's student loan plan. The Supreme Court recently struck it down as well, declaring it unconstitutional, saying the president didn't have the authority to unilaterally cancel student debt without authorization from Congress.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Some big Wisconsin political figures say they would work for Donald Trump if he wins the White House again. Former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark said there aren't any plans in motion, but if he was asked, of course he would serve in a new Republican administration. During Trump's first term in office, Clark was considered for a post in the Department of Homeland Security. He withdrew his acceptance when news surfaced that he plagiarized his master's thesis. And former Governor Scott Walker is currently president of the group Young Americans for Freedom. He didn't rule out the idea. And Wisconsin has broken another employment record. New numbers from the Department of Workforce Development show the highest employment rate ever last month. The previous record was from May. Governor Tony Evers credited programs that strengthen the workforce through added access to education and fast-tracking licensing. That's been a big focus of his administration as governor. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson for Civic Media News.
Chris Middleton had surgery. Hi, I'm Mike Clevins with sports. The Bucks' Chris Middleton is recovering from arthroscopic surgery to both his ankles after a long season dealing with sprains he talked about in March.
It's been a long rehab process, but I think we kind of knew what we were heading towards after the injury.
A source telling The Athletic, the 32-year-old Middleton is expected to make a full recovery and be ready for the start of the season. The Bucks' summer league schedule continues tomorrow afternoon when they face the Phoenix Suns in Las Vegas, tip-off time at 3 o'clock. NFL, Packers quarterbacks and rookies reporting to training camp in Green Bay to have their physical the rest of the players this weekend. In golf, Tiger Woods says he could barely sleep at all Saturday night. The 48-year-old Woods says he was shaken at the news of the assassination attempt made on Donald Trump's life. Woods received a Presidential Medal of Freedom from Trump at the White House in 2019. Tiger making the comments after arriving in Scotland for the 152nd British Open this weekend. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the mid-50s. And mostly sunny and pleasant for tomorrow, high upper 70s to 80. And around 80 this weekend, slight storm chance. Temps will stay pretty close to 80 as we look into early next week. A little more humid and still a chance of storms. It's 71 right now.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, my good friend Sandy Williams and I will give our final thoughts on the RNC wrapping up in Milwaukee. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand
up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. Hit me, cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians, they're 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 trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Karagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are really happy to have Robert Lilligren on, and Robert is the CEO and, CEO and president of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And Robert, I know you have a speaking engagement coming up here real quick, so I want to get to you right away. Welcome to Native Roots Radio, as always.
Oh, no.
I don't and a have pleasure to see you on Thursdays.
Well, go ahead, Robert.
At the farmer's market.
Yes. Okay, we're good. Can you hear us okay?
I can hear you fine. Is there an issue with my sound?
There was just in the beginning, but we hear you loud and clear. And yes, we did get to see you today at the farmer's market. And there was a birthday celebration. And, you know, I snuck in your office and got a little refried beans and some rice. Oh, wow.
Nice. Did you get cake? Did you get cake too?
Yeah. From, you know, and it's funny, from one of AM950's sponsors, that cake is awesome.
Yeah, cafe latte.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We like to celebrate our birthdays at NACD. It's a great team building exercise. It makes for an easier day. And we get cake, which is nice. And we celebrate so many birthdays. We have a staff of 12 and we practically hit every month. So we just leave our birthday decorations up all year round now.
That's awesome. That's totally awesome. And again, thanks for being letting Haley and I stop in. And it's great. It was great to be at the market. Perfect weather, great vendors, and Bob Rice's truck out there. Big line every time we go there. That's just awesome happenings there at the Powwow Grounds parking lot on the great state of Franklin Avenue.
Yeah, right on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. And then we also hosted a really cool group in our art gallery. We have All My Relations Arts right there, which is housed in our building with Powwow Grounds and our offices. And We had a group that's called Grant Makers in the Arts, GIA, and it is some of the largest philanthropic art funders, foundations in the country. And they're here doing an advanced meeting. It was their board, and they have a conference here next year, which we're going to help them plan as well. But we had, oh, I don't know, a couple dozen, maybe arts funders, leaders in their organizations in the gallery today. And you have seen that show, Frank Buffalo Heights, very high impact mm-hmm. pop art show. And the show actually closed last week, but the artist, Frank Buffalo Hyde, was willing to let us leave the show up so that it looked good when these arts folks were in the gallery. But that was a great, great meeting with some very important partners of ours.
Wow, that's exciting. And that's what you, Native American Community Development Institute, does so well. And since we've really been partnering with you and also having you as a guest for many years, I just am amazed by your capacity, really, of your 12 employees and yourself and the great work environment there. I just can't say enough, and I'm dead serious about that.
Very kind. You're very kind. It's a great place to work. You know, part of our mission is to build capacity, and that's capacity in the community or individual level, but within our staff as well. And so it's just kind of baked into how we operate that we're always developing people that work for us. My little secret for getting things done with minimal capacity, we have a saying at NACTI, is use other people's resources. And so if we can assemble the resources to move forward to a community objective, you know, and so that's kind of the work that that NACTI does. We're kind of in the middle of a lot of stuff.
Speaking of a middle of a lot of stuff, and again, we really are always happy to have you on, and I know you got to get going. I kind of want to, you know, you've always been a person that I love talking to about local and national politics. I was at Red Lake, so I was listening to the Progressive XM radio on the way home, and
nice.
Oh my goodness, you know, it's crazy because we have people going after the president. And then yet we have a candidate that nobody's going after that's a felon that also has many, many, many gaffes in what he says. And so, you know, the media is really, really bothering me right now, the mass media.
Right. Yeah. Well, so just a bunch of stuff, right, going on. This is national convention season. Mm-hmm. So we just came off the Republican National convention. And so, of course, that's what's going to be front, you know, headlines. That's what everyone's going to be talking about. I suspect next month with the Democratic National Convention, we'll hear plenty of Trump criticism, and that'll be taking sort of the lead story. Of course, with that attempted assassination, that's just put a whole different dynamic and framework around this whole conversation. I found it very interesting and commendable that the first words we heard from Republican leadership was tone down the rhetoric. We got to tone down the rhetoric. And then once their convention opened, man, they just let it rip. It's like, if that's toned down, I'd hate to hear what you were originally planning to say.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's disheartening too. And it seems, and again, I'm hearing reports all over radio and television, and you know that Pelosi and even Obama have talked to Joe Biden, who, if he does bow out, he's been one of the greatest presidents we've had in my lifetime.
Agree, I agree, and he's done a great job, and he could leave with respect, and his head held high from doing a good job. Nobody, at least on the progressive side, the Democratic side that I'm hearing, are criticizing his performance as president, but it's more his identity as a candidate.
Right.
And part of me thinks, and I have nothing to base this on. So
write this down, Haley.
Hear,
write this down. Here we go.
Millions of listeners to understand this. But I think that, you know, we hear so these bubbles about the conversations that are going on at the highest level of Democratic leadership. And it sounds like there's more and more consensus that we need a change in candidates. And this will be interesting to watch this unfold. In my little heart of hearts, I suspect that any kind of announcement or change has been deferred to move it away from the Republican National Convention period, because if there was a new candidate on the top of the ticket, they'd just be ripping her to shreds, right? And so...
Well, you said her.
This was a way for whoever steps in, and, you know, and if it's the vice president or whoever, to be a little protected through that Republican National Convention. And those conventions just get mean, you know.
I think it might be a smart strategy. I'll be out there, Robert. We might have to hire you to come in and run the show while I call in.
Okay. You're going to Chicago?
Yeah, with my nation. So I'll be out
there. Cool. Are you a delegate?
No, but I'll be a hanger-oner, I think they're called. No.
I think that's what it's called.
Hey, thank you so much, Robert. I know you're busy, and I really appreciate you stopping in for this segment.
It's always a pleasure. Gigawaba, man.
Right on. Hey, we're listening to Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
Relations,
brothers,
sisters,
sons,
daughters,
and some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, June 15th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org. Again, that's at metrotransit.org.
Hey, it's Robert Pilot. I want to talk to you about the rising energy costs and how you can manage them with the help of 952 Windows. Many people have plenty of insulation in their roof and attic, but the next significant step for energy savings is installing energy-efficient windows and doors. My good friend owns 952 Windows, a part of Loyal Home. They did a remodeling job on our home 20 years ago and definitely did a better job than the other guys. I've talked to neighbors over the years that experienced contractor problems with those other guys, especially when their window and door upgrades fell short in quality and energy efficiency. But when we made our second floor addition to our home, we used 952 Windows and received an excellent price and exceptional workmanship. Since then, we've seen much lower energy bills. So for your next home remodeling project, go with 952 Windows. Trust me, you won't regret giving them a call at 952-WINDOWS or 952windows.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Haley, before our guest comes on, you know, Bob Newhart passed away, and I don't know, you are young, if you know who that is.
I don't. No,
well, he was a comedian during the 70s and 80s, and let me tell you what happened. So we had, he had a show called the Bob Newhart Show in the 70s. It ran quite a few years, and then later on, he had a show called Newhart, and... it was a bunch of strange characters, and he, in the second show, in the first show, he played a psychiatrist and his wife, and it was fun. It was one of those really good classic shows. So the second, show, I believe, was called Newhart, and, they, were ending their series after a long run, 7-8 years. I can't remember how long.
Okay.
So the show ended where the guy, the lights were off, and Bob Newhart goes, I just had a terrible dream. And then he starts explaining the dream, and then he turns the lights on, and it's his wife from the first show that's in the bed when he was a psychiatrist. It was one of the greatest endings of a show that I ever seen. And, and I'll never forget that. It was like, that is like awesome that this whole other show that he was on was a total dream that he had.
Yeah, that is a different way to end a show and kind of a different way to connect the two. That is really cool. Was he was a comedian, I heard? Was that
A real deadpan kind of comedian, I think. And I don't know if you watched Sheldon at all, which is the precursor to The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, Young Sheldon?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I have seen a few of those.
Well, he played, I think, one of the scientists on TV that he always liked to watch. So he was working into his 90s, it looked like, on Young Sheldon, which is an awesome show. I know you don't watch much TV because you're a Gen Zer, but Bear has gotten a whole bunch of awards here for the Emmys.
I have heard a lot of really good things about that, but I have yet to watch, which
I'm about to sneeze. Can you keep talking?
I can. Yes, I know. I haven't seen much of Bear, but I know Res Dogs has, we've talked about that being updated for a lot of Emmys. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of really good Native representation at the Emmys this year.
Yeah. Well, we're excited. We got to keep pushing and, matter of fact, we should reach out to Sterling again and see if he'll come on. Sterling Harjo, that was the head person of Reservation Dogs. And I know over the years, we've had quite a few people from Res Dogs on the show. And, it's amazing, too. They probably shot this thing 5 years ago or 4 years ago, and they're still getting awards, and they've moved on to other projects. So but it's good to get recognized.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think Reservation Dogs is just kind of that. It's always going to be a classic TV show. You know, it's kind of like the first comedy Native series to ever represent, you know, us. And I think that's going to be a classic, kind of like Smoke Signals.
Yeah, you know, and what's interesting, too, from the whole beginning of the show to the end, was really the whole theme was community, and that the young ones that were the stars of the show were not about community. They all wanted to move to California, and their friend had committed suicide, and they had a lot of angst and wonderment of why, and they were a close-knit group of kids. But at the end, it ended up being all about community, and they were all involved with their community. And what a way to end it. And I don't know, did you ever watch The Office?
I a few episodes.
Okay, so The Office was originally done by Ricky Gervais in London, you know, in England. It was a BBC show.
Okay.
And Ricky only does three seasons and moves on. And he only did three seasons of The Office and what is award-winning show. And then they moved here to the United States and did their own version of it. But I like that, you know. I like that they're not sticking around a long time, and their mission was accomplished, and now they're moving on to other things. And you know, how much more, you know, can you do?
Yeah.
We'd selfishly love it. It's still on, you know, Reservation Dogs, but I can see their point.
Yeah, I can definitely see that point too. And then you want to look at other shows who have, you know, 15, 16, 17 seasons, and, you know, it's you lose a lot of your fan base, like, over the years when you just keep dragging characters out. And I think of Grey's Anatomy. That's one that I've seen, you know, every episode up until maybe the 12th season, and half there's one original character left. And, you know, those are ones where it's like, just call it.
That's so funny that you say that, because Wendy likes to binge, and she's binging on Grey's Anatomy. She's never watched it before. And
never?
She was a big ER fan, and I don't know if you were around for ER. But
well, then I'm surprised she hasn't seen Grey's Anatomy.
Well, she has now. I don't know.
No, definitely.
I don't know what season she's in.
Yeah.
And I did mention that this person was fired, and she goes, I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
So many twists and turns and sad things that happened in the Grey's Anatomy's plot. But
well, you know what? This one's way, way before your time, but one of the shows that the last show, I believe, had one of the records, and I'd have to look it up. I want to say 70 or 80 million people watched the last show, and that was a show called MASH. And that was on a really, really long time. And I really, really enjoyed it because it was based off a movie about the Korean War and medics in the front lines. But then it kind of got to be a little preachy and kind of, the Korean War only lasted the United States like, 2.5 years. And we were on like 12 years with the TV show. So,
a little long overdue.
Yeah, it got to be too much, but a lot of people watched the last show. And I think Cheers is another one too that, I would have to say Cheers is writing, though, kept it fresh, and they had a big ensemble of characters, and that one was pretty cool. And I know a lot of people watched Friends and,
I've seen
Seinfeld
Friends.
And all that.
A lot of the great original sitcoms and comedies. I was talking yesterday in that last segment about Res Dogs and their Emmy nom. One of them was for single camera use. Yeah. So they just shoot with one camera. And
film
all
style.
Of. Yeah, I guess it just made me think about the film classes I took back at the U of M. And we always shot with a three angle camera. So there were three cameras.
For TV?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, they shoot, there's no live audience, so they shoot film style, which is pretty awesome. And I don't know if you ever remember the show Happy Days.
Is that with, like, the Archie Bunker and stuff?
No.
What's that one?
The Family. Oh, my God. It's so cool talking to Gen Z. Do you know what this is? This is a phone and this is a dial. Our Indian talk has turned into Emmy talk here, but
I know, like some TV land, channel talk. But wow, you bring up Cheers, and then the ending to that other show that you talked about made me think of the ending of Roseanne. Kind of. Do you remember that last episode where he had a heart attack, or he woke up and it was like a similar kind of thing where it was like a dream?
Really? No, yeah. I didn't watch Roseanne. I did watch The Reincarnation, and then Roseanne went off the deep end, and then she got Me Too'd right off the show. She was an anti-vaxxer and big Trump supporter, and they fired her, and they went on with the Conners for the last 5 or 6 years. That was a pretty quality show. But
that's true.
Yeah, now I cringe when I hear about Roseanne because of that.
But
it's so weird because their show is based on middle class people struggling and
and they had her daughter was gay, wasn't she? I feel like they talked about that topic a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah. I just got a backup today too. I got to see you in the community, and that's always nice. And I just want to revert back to some talk about Native American Community Development Institute and the work that they do. It's amazing. We were only able to touch base with Robert a little bit, but they have the art gallery, they have the powwow grounds, and then you have the postcard there of what's coming up.
We do, so All My Relations Arts Gallery, which is a part of NACDI, their Native American Community Development Institute. Frank Buffalo High just wrapped up his exhibit there last week, but there is a new exhibit that we can talk about. I know we have a minute left here until the next break, but this is a new exhibit. It's by artist Jay White, who comes from the Arikara. I might be saying that wrong. I know it's a tribe in South Dakota. And that's where they are from. This is the exhibit is called Arika Proper, and it's a solo exhibition featuring artist Jay White, and they are a self-taught painter, which is really cool.
Wow. So I'm a self-taught painter, too.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
CBS News Special Report. Former President Donald Trump will deliver a speech at the final night of the Republican National Convention, where he will accept the GOP nomination for president for a third time. Trump senior advisor Daniel Alvarez says of the address,
"It will be very personal. It will be from the heart, and it will meet the moment. It will call for the unity that the nation needs."
Alabama delegate Frank Hayes.
It should be about Democrats or Republicans. We should talk about policies.
As President Biden begins COVID isolation, the calls from Democrats for him to drop out of the election are growing. CBS's Robert Costa.
There's a congressman from California, Democrat, named Jim Costa, no relation. He just called CBS News watching our coverage and said he has decided just now to announce that he can no longer support President Biden remaining in the race.
A second Democratic U.S. Senator, this time John Tester of Montana, says Biden should not seek re-election. CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Some big Wisconsin political figures say they would work for Donald Trump if he wins the White House again. Former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark said there aren't any plans in motion, but if he was asked, of course he would serve in a new Republican administration. During Trump's first term in office, Clark was considered for a post in the Department of Homeland Security. He withdrew his acceptance when news surfaced that he plagiarized his master's thesis. And former Governor Scott Walker is currently president of the group Young Americans for Freedom. He didn't rule out the idea. And Wisconsin has broken another employment record. New numbers from the Department of Workforce Development show the highest employment rate ever last month. The previous record was from May. Governor Tony Evers credited programs that strengthen the workforce through added access to education and fast-tracking licensing. That's been a big focus of his administration as governor. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson for Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. In Good Hollywood Feels news, Ryan Reynolds says he forfeited much of his salary to get the first Deadpool made. What did he do with what little salary he had left? Variety reports that Reynolds gave it to his co-writers, Rhett Reese and Paul Warnick, so they could be on the set with Reynolds and form a de facto writer's room. At this time, I should mention that his per diem on the big budget film is the budget of a small country. Still a nice gesture and a good guy. Can you imagine going through life hearing rumors that your mom slept with Mick Jagger? Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau can. Apparently, his mother, Margaret, attended a Rolling Stones concert and partied with the band after splitting with Trudeau's dad in the 70s. Margaret admits to partying with the Stones, but denies the rumors that she ever slept with Jagger, but joked that in retrospect, she says she would have slept with every single one of them. It's not so bad, Justin. Maybe she meant take a nap. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the mid-50s. And mostly sunny and pleasant for tomorrow, high upper 70s to 80. And around 80 this weekend, slight storm chance. Temps will stay pretty close to 80 as we look into early next week, a little more humid, and still a chance of storms.
It's 69 degrees right now.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
This whole week, I've been trying to think of some maneuver I could say that would go viral and totally sell my soul for extra cash. I'm not putting myself above that.
How about Schwabe Habba? Or Schwabidada? Or Schwabidaba Ding Dong? Instead of the more you know, it just says Schwabidaba Ding Dong with a rainbow and a star shooting star.
Conrad, I think we got our promo.
Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Folks, I'm taking a little bit of a vacation, but do not worry, you'll be in excellent hands with Matt Rothschild and Jim Santel as your guest hosts. Stay tuned.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry. Support Native-owned businesses. Check them out at NativeConcreteMasonry.com and give Chuck a call at 612-597-0421.
Operators are waiting. Yes. Hey, I just want to say a quick thing before you start asking me questions about my life and, you know, how I became so cool as an old person.
For sure.
Omni's having their third anniversary on Friday.
Ooh.
And that's from, I think, 5 to 10. So they're having a celebration there. So get out there and, they might have some of those crickets with the chocolate sauce on that you can munch at, you know, while you're having a Coca-Cola. Well, they wouldn't have Coca-Cola. Yeah. It's some kind of tea, you know, or some kind of water or something there. But we love Owamni, and so I'll be there incognito, but I will be there.
Good. Well, do you want to tell people what Owamni is for those who have never heard of that?
That's a really good thing. They're Sean Sherman's restaurant, the sous chef, his award-winning restaurant in Minneapolis, and right by the falls there. And you can see from the restaurant the Mississippi River, and it's a beautiful location. And it's a skip and a jump to the world-famous Stone Arch Bridge.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it does have a really great view of that. What have you tasted at Owamni? What are some of your favorite dishes to have? What would you recommend to people?
You know, I'm not a big meat person, you know, and Wendy's a vegan. So, but I have had the bison.
Yeah.
And that's unbelievable. And let me think what else I've had. Because they have like a different, you know, sides of rice with things in it. That's a good question. But the last thing I had was the bison, and it was unbelievable.
Yeah. I believe you that it was unbelievable. I have had that myself, too. And I just remember, you know, the few times that I have been able to eat at Owamni, you know, you tend to feel full and tired after a meal when you usually eat out at other places. But this food is so good for you, and it's all indigenous cuisine. So, and it changes with the seasons. So whatever is grown locally or, you know, on the land here, that's what's in season and that's what's going to be on the menu. So it's, you know, it's always kind of changing. And, you know, after I have ate there, I just feel so energized after and upbeat. I'm not, you know, tired and down and wanting to take a nap or something in a food coma, but it really energizes you to put that good nutrition in your body.
You know, that's a really, really a great point. You know, there's so many times that I go to a restaurant and now that I'm old, I don't do this, but you know, the portions and things are just unbelievably big. And, you know, I was brought up to, you know, be the clean your plate and things like that. Well, it's really taken me a long time to unlearn that and then ask for a to-go container.
Sure.
And I have, because, you know, when you're older, your metabolism, slows down. And, you know, hey, Charles, thank you.
Hey, Chuck from Native Concrete and Masonry.
Right on.
He says, we are the perfect duo. And I do have to insist on that.
Yeah.
But, what else is going on? We saw David from the
Carlson,
David Carlson from the fire department, the Minneapolis Fire Department.
He's a captain.
Yeah, he is a captain. He is a big deal.
Right.
He's Native American captain. Guy.
Yeah. He was telling the stories today, and it was funny. They were underneath a tent, and I was like in the sun without any sunscreen on.
I know. I could feel my skin burning a little bit. Yeah. But always worth it with the conversation with mm-hmm. David. He wants, you know, I think we could shout this out for him. The Minneapolis Fire Department is doing something really cool. It's a great resource here in Minneapolis. It's called Sidewalks and Streets. It's mm-hmm. a community safety event, and it's going to be happening this Saturday, July 20th, from 11 to 4 p.m. This first event is going to be at the University Research Outreach Center, 2001 Plymouth Avenue in Minneapolis. This is a program put on by Lights On. It's a program of micro grants. Mm-hmm. This is a free community event. And, you know, it's all about bringing your vehicles in that if you need any kinds of, like, repair on your lights or if you need helmets or any type of safety gear for a bicycle – this is a really great opportunity for Minneapolis residents. Mm-hmm. Lights On distributes vouchers for free car light repairs, including headlights, taillights, turn signals, and these vouchers are up to $250. So I don't know about you, but if you've ever been pulled over for maybe having a turn signal out and you got a ticket, but you're like, hey, I didn't know my taillight was out or I didn't know my blinker was out. This is a free place where you can go get that taken care of. Again, this will be at the University Research Outreach Center in Minneapolis, Saturday, July 20th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And if you want more info on that, I would check out the Minneapolis Police Department and Minneapolis Fire and Rescue.
That's what's so fun about this show is that there's so many events going around Turtle Island, whether it's national television shows or our local Native community here. And you know, the captain had these, he was tabling today and had this really, you know, exciting thing to reach out to the community and help, because that can be a hindrance. And that's a way to do it.
Yeah, especially for young families who rely on bicycles to get around Minneapolis or the Twin Cities. It's all, you know, the traffic can be heavy sometimes. Luckily, Minneapolis is really good with the bike lanes. But if you're looking for a helmet or any safety reflectors or anything like that, that would be also a good place to get that.
Well, and, you know, it's amazing because most of the cars are not this way. But when a car light is out and you are not in the cities, or even if you are in the cities in a side street, mm-hmm. how dark it is with just one light.
That's so true. Yeah.
You know, and they don't burn out at the same time. One burns out and sometimes you don't really know because the streets are lit up and you have to get out of your car and see if both your lights are on and, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, it is a tough thing to remember to check your blinkers and check your headlights, especially if you live on your own. It's I don't know, how do you check your, I guess you can just leave your blinker on and get out, but look, I guess it's probably easier than I thought.
I ain't got time for that. Hey, you know, one of the things that we wanted to really talk about too today, and I do believe because we have State Senator Mary Kunish on who sent us a report like the olden days, which is awesome. We have something that's going on up north here with the land back situation. Haley, I'm wondering if you could fill our listening audience in on that, because it's an amazing thing. And it's a real thing. And there was a celebration a couple days ago. Well, it was yesterday.
Yeah, it was. Leech Lake got like thousands of acres returned to them. It's a big movement. It's land back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was kind of searching for the article here. I know I've read a couple.
I think I shared it, so I'm going to look.
Oh, yeah, maybe it was you. I was looking at our Native Roots Radio Facebook page. I knew we shared it somewhere. But that is huge. That's quite a bit of acreage. And, you know, this is exactly the type of work that needs to happen at the state level, working with tribal council members to get positive things going and complete like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a big deal. And I don't want to give too much away because I do believe the state senator is going to be talking about that. Land back is really important. And I believe with the part of Red Lake is dealing with that too. And we've been up to Red Lake just recently and how that really affects people's psyche, but also how people are worried that, you know, that the Native Americans are going to treat the people that are on the lake like they were treated. Yeah. And so there's a big paranoia of people losing their mansions and things like that. That's not going to happen. And I know, you know, that Lake Red Lake, for instance, what they're dealing with is just they're going to be getting land back that's not people's places. It's going to be the
federal
right
owned
exactly
properties. Yeah,
exactly. So
yeah, we and don't... a lot of that land back too in Minnesota that I know State Senator Mary Kunish and others have been working on. It's a lot of the forests and like the state forests, so there are no people living there in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's a really good point. You know, I see a picture here. I'm on Leech Lake's Facebook page, but it's awesome. And, you know, so.
Oh, I think I got something here. Okay, this is from NPR and just quoting here. Local, tribal, and state officials gathered on the Leech Lakes Band's reservation on July 17th to celebrate the return of nearly 12,000 acres of land. This is amazing. The Reservation Restoration Act transferred land previously managed by the Chippewa National Forest to the tribe. So, yeah, that is the Chippewa National Forest.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing. And we're really happy that for Leech Lake, which is my son-in-law's tribe.
That's true. Shout out Micah.
Maybe Micah can get me some lakefront property up there. Oh,
yeah, but this the law of the Reservation Restoration Act, this restores the land for the Leech Lake people that the federal government wrongfully took from the tribe in the 1940s and the 1950s. So this really wasn't that long ago when we're talking 1950s and 1940s.
Exactly.
Well, I'm excited to see more of this and let's keep it going.
Hey, you know what? I think we have blabbed enough here to get into the end of the show here in the next segment. Good job, Haley.
Thank you. You too.
You too. Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and up next, State Senator Mary Kunish. We'll be right back after this short break.
With mommy.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Bonjour. Hello. My name is Wabin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, June 15th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at MetroTransit.org. Again, that's at MetroTransit.org.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents, I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Howl! Have to be a quick howl. Hey, without any further ado, why don't we take a quick listen to our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish.
Hey, Madaki Ape, State Senator Mary Kunish here. Just want to greet everybody on this beautiful, gorgeous day here in Minnesota. It's a sunny day, 78 degrees, with beautiful white fluffy clouds. I'm spending my day mostly on an agricultural tour. I am on the Ag Committee here in Minnesota. It's Ag, Broadband, and Rural Development. And so this is my second day this week of going to visit farms and agricultural endeavors across the state, and I am just thoroughly enjoying it. I just finished up with a small private-owned vegetable grower. She and her husband are originally from South Africa, and they bought a farm, and they are doing managed crops, specifically vegetables, that they then take down to the Twin Cities. They live about an hour north of the Twin Cities here in Minnesota, and sell to the communities, sell to areas that have vegetable deserts in their communities. And they just put together an incredible, incredible farm system that I really want to come back next year when they expand it. It's their second year there, and so they're expanding it little by little. And before that, I went to a stockyard and learned a little bit more about what stockyards are like and when the farmers bring their animals to the yard and sell them either to individual farmers or to be used for harvesting the meat from it and that sort of thing. So, yeah, this week has been a great one, and I was out and about on Monday as well, and just really fascinated by the variety of farming entrepreneurs here in Minnesota, and look forward to being able to continue to support them in the best way that I can in the Minnesota Ag Committee this next session once again. Last 2 years, we really focused on the farmer's voice and listened to what the farmers were asking for and needing, and it was just, I love being on that committee. We started the very first Women in Ag Day in my committee, and that went really well. So looking forward to more of that, and we're on our way now to visit another small private-owned farm. Female owns it. It's an organic farm. And she, too, provides a lot of fresh vegetables to communities that don't usually get them, and a wide variety of fresh vegetables as well. So that's been really great. I also this week got to visit with Red Lake, drove up to Red Lake earlier this week, and talked to them about their egg program that they have going on. It was just fabulous to hear and learn about what they're doing up there. One of the things that we visited is their buffalo herd, which is growing every year. For lunch, they served us kind of like a buffalo sloppy joe sandwich, which was absolutely delicious. So we went out and visited the Tatanka, and then they took us on a tour of their wild rice beds. These are cultivated wild rice beds. Red Lake doesn't have the kind of lakes and the ecosystem that most of the other tribes in northern Minnesota have, you know, wild rice. And so they've been able to work with the University of Minnesota to create cultivated wild rice beds. And again, very fascinating to see how they've been able to manage that for their community, but also as a commodity to sell and bring in dollars to their tribe. We also spoke about a little bit about the bill that I'm carrying to return the entirety of Red Lake to the tribe. That is one of those situations where when the folks in Washington, D.C. were negotiating the land resettlement and land allotment and all of those things, the tribes did not agree to giving up any portion of Red Lake, either the northern or the southern part of Red Lake. Yet when it came back as federal law, the federal government had lopped off the top third of the upper lake and made it available to the state as well as to individuals to own. And the tribe wants to have the control of the entire lake, both pieces of the lake, in order to manage it, to be the best steward that they can to those lakes. They're very concerned that the DNR is not managing the possibility of invasive species coming into that lake. It's an incredible walleye. It's like one of the best walleye lakes here in Minnesota. And so we get fishermen from all over the place who come up and want to get their boat in that lake, and they're supposed to decontaminate the boat before they put it in there because of the different species that are invasive. And that's just not happening. The DNR doesn't have enough people to manage that. And the tribe feels like, of course, it's their lake. It's a sacred lake to them, and they want to have it back to manage. So we've got a bill to do that. And then yesterday, I visited up to Leech Lake, again in northern Minnesota, for this time a joyful celebration in that they also were returned to them. I think it's 1,200 acres of land that had been erroneously taken from them by mistake, by the federal government. And they've been working for decades to get this land, the Chippewa Parkland wooded area, back. And fortunately, we have some champions at the federal level. Senator Tina Smith worked very hard on getting that returned to the tribe, as well as my Congresswoman, Betty McCollum. Both of them were true champions at the federal level to get those lands back. And yesterday it was official. So both of them were there to celebrate. Our Lieutenant Governor, Peggy Flanagan, a couple of the other federal folks who represent Minnesota were there, as well as our state representatives, Heather Keeler and Leish Koslowski. So it was a great day to be in community, to be with the leaders, and to celebrate the return of those lands. And I think a lot of people are nervous about us working on that land back, but we're not going to end anytime soon. So I think I am done here, but just want to say have a great weekend, everybody. Wopi Latanka, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, State Representative, or State Senator. She used to be State Representative. Mary Kunish, what an awesome job, and we really appreciate her bringing in this information.
93.5 The Tap. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, as he does every Friday, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, and we celebrate Daiquiri Day. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.